Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Before we get to our show, I want to take a moment to talk about something really important to the whole Dare We Say family. Our music composer and former editor, Brian Vasquez, was just diagnosed with leukemia. Brian was absolutely instrumental in the creation of this show, but more importantly, he's a wonderful and a kind person. His friends created a GoFundMe to help ease the stress during this emotional and financially difficult time. If you can, please donate to Brian by going to helpbrian.net. That's helpbrian, B-R-I-A-N.net. We'll also put it in our show notes. Now let's get to the theme music, composed by our very own Brian Vasquez. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good was that?
That was really great, actually. I enjoyed it.
Do you think
I'm
talented?
It was good.
Are you guys just saying that?
So you think I'm pretty.
So you think I'm pretty?
Yeah. Who are you?
Hi,
who just sang for us?
The person who sang for us is Yasmin Ahmadi. And this is me, Yasmin Ahmadi.
Wow. Okay, cool. I'm Alicia Pascual Peña.
I'm Jose Tota.
And this is Dare We Say.
That was a great acting exercise we just did.
That was so funny.
Wow.
Anyways, I want to bring up something that's very important to me.
Okay.
And that is something called White Lotus.
Okay.
We have a lot of thoughts on this. Now, I'm only 2 episodes in, but all I have to say is Jennifer fucking Coolidge. Jennifer fucking Coolidge.
She's a national treasure.
If White Lotus is important to you, it is ingratiated in my blood.
Talk about it.
It is the oxygen that pumps through wherever oxygen is supposed to pump.
And yes, heart,
it, and
arteries.
It doesn't. And it's also why I'm alive. I'm obsessed. I have been up day in and day out. I'm on subreddits. I'm on Quora forums.
She's on QAnon. I'm joking.
I'm a part of QAnon because of White Lotus. No, I love it. I'm addicted. I'm obsessed with everyone. And I'm right there with you.
Who would you be? If you had to tag yourself in a character of White Lotus this season, who would you be?
Well, can I just say, I think a white sleigh of the century right now, of the moment, is Megan, who plays Daphne. Like, an incredible Caucasian performance.
She's killer.
I did not want to love her. Her performance is so layered. It is so just beautifully woven, understated, but sinister and coded. She's exceptional.
That's exactly the word, is exceptional. And honestly,
Aubrey Plaza, of course, is just
Aubrey
amazing.
Plaza, I mean, this is my bisexual fantasy, looking at Theo James and Aubrey Plaza on the same screen. This
Theo
is my
James,
dream.
Theo James is he's a sexy pair of underwear that has a stain on it.
Oh, it's he's been worn in. He's been through the ringer a little bit.
It's really ugly, but it's there's something in your body that wants it, even if it's really bad for you, and it'll probably give you an infection.
An infection. It's giving yeast infection. But no, here's the thing. It's I just know you and Daphne need to be in the next White Lotus together, or you and Miss Plaza. That's all I know for next season. And all I know for next season is I'm going to be with Jennifer Coolidge. I'm thinking south of France or Bangkok, and we're sprinkling our ex-husband's ashes like salt on our food, eating it with no problem. That's all I know for next season.
I'm curious, Yasmin, because I don't want to give any spoilers to anyone, but you're in episode 2. In your head, do you have an idea of who the killer could be?
No.
Or who could die?
I have an idea of who dies, but not exactly who the killer is.
Alicia, you need to watch the show.
She does.
I've been saying that I need to watch it. I think,
Go on.
Why haven't you watched it? I mean, you've watched Succession.
I know.
That's like the widest show in the universe.
I know. I've watched Succession. I'm actually watching Westworld, which doesn't have that much diversity either. As the girls know, I kind of have like a diversity quota. And if there aren't enough black people or queer people or Asian or indigenous people, I don't want to watch. But I make the exception for really well-written television.
I agree.
Because I love to learn and grow and just admire art. But yeah, I got to get into White Lotus. I think maybe just because I've been binging other things.
What have you been binging?
I try to balance it out so I'm not like in too dark of a place. But,
I can't wait. Right? I can imagine you going like watching like I May Destroy You.
I binge on May Destroy You in 2 days like an insane person.
Of course.
I don't know why I did that. But right now, Westworld reboot, which was like this.
it's really good.
It's so good.
It's actually really good.
And I don't feel like people are talking about it.
No, but I feel like it's gonna happen like kind of like how Succession happened. So it's going to be like 2 or 3 seasons and then it's going to blow up.
Well, I hope it gets the support. I think it's really funny. I think, but also I'm like, am I just super biased because it's
Keegan, Michael Key.
Exactly. And then also it's such like an LA show. Like I love being in the writer's
room. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love like the absurdity of like the showrunners together. Like I think it's really cute and self-aware and funny and has great conversations. But yeah, Westworld reboot, and then I'm running it back on Atlanta.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
I think some of the best television ever. Yeah, what else have I watched? I've really been like watching a lot of stuff. I've been watching a lot of movies. I feel like I've been at the movie theater a lot. Like,
really?
Just watched The Menu, Knives Out.
What did you think?
Did you guys watch it? I haven't seen The Menu.
I haven't either.
No, what's it like?
Okay.
Alicia.
I really liked it. Ironically, the person.
That just made me hungry. I'm just having a bite. You're on.
Please, please. You're so precious.
Wait, I'm sorry. Jessie looks really cute right now. Yeah. But continue.
I just want to
My makeup artist on set told me that I looked like a poodle.
You want a big poodle?
She said I
look
like a poodle. She said I look like a dog.
Josie looks like a big poodle.
Anyway, continue while I eat this. This is my first meal in 36 hours, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, no, that shouldn't happen again.
No, yeah. No. It's because I had the stomach flu.
Oh.
It went from mental health check to, oh, okay.
To be like, oh, wait, yeah, that's so fair. That Alicia, continue on your critique.
Okay, The Menu specifically. It's just funny because I went with someone who didn't love the film. And
And they've watched it prior.
We watched it together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
We saw it together and our opinions were pretty different. But
hilarious.
I like it because it was weird. And like I was at the edge. I was at the edge of my seat. I really think the performances are beautiful. I love the way it was shot. I'm also like such a sucker and a nerd for social commentary in a weird way.
Yes.
I thought it was innovative filmmaking. I think it's a little absurd.
Love.
Which I think is the point of it. But something that the person I watched it with and we both said is that we kind of wanted like more intentionality. Like, how do I explain this without giving away a part of the film? I wish that there was a point in the movie where there's social commentary about elitism and capitalism and greed and overindulgence, right? But someone, while trying to counter that elitism, goes like really, really far, right?
Extremism.
Yeah, extremism. So I kind of wish that there was a point in the film where one of the people being critiqued at that point would have said, like, you now have become us. Like, you've now... I don't know why, but me as a viewer was yearning for that.
Got it.
But that could also just be like me as the type of individual. I wanted something to wrap it up. Not like wrap it up with a pretty bow. It's not that type of film. But I enjoyed it. I also loved that it was an hour and a half and it said a lot. Because I'm also like, why are we making 3-hour movies?
Yes,
without
Alicia.
Intentionality, without actual purpose, and without arcs that like didn't drive me to feel anything. Like, I don't feel imprinted by the film. Is it a film that I could watch a bunch? No, just because I'm not a gory girl. But I thoroughly did enjoy it. I was like, this is cool filmmaking. Like, I love, like, Josie and I watched A Triangle of Sadness. I was like, this is cool filmmaking. It makes me excited about film.
I am dying to see that.
Woman King, Wakanda Forever.
I'm excited about film. The Triangle of Sadness.
Well, I think, I just want to touch
Wakanda's
on. Wakanda's
very long, but it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I think it deserved it, personally.
I agree. I think there's very specific films and TV series that can only be that can really be long. Like, I don't think The Irishman should have been, like, 3.5 hours long. Like, I think there's a lot of ego films and a lot of ego TVs.
Yeah.
That the directors and the filmmakers are making it for the sake of making a film, not for the sake of the storyline, not for the sake of actually conveying a magnificent story.
Saying something.
Do you know what I mean?
And even if it isn't a grandiose idea, saying something. Ironically, the person who I went with said they felt that the menu was... How do I say this in other terms? I guess I can be a big girl.
Please.
He was saying, like, because I don't want to say it like this because I feel like it sounds crass. But anyways, he was like, I don't like to watch film that feels like the masturbation of a writer or like the masturbation of a director where it wasn't really for the audience and it was more for them.
See, that's
that's what he felt the menu was.
Oh.
I didn't share that perspective, but I was like.
Well, why would anyone make be for the audience?
True, but not like that. Like,
I disagree with that.
I think maybe what you're saying or what your person who you saw the movie with was saying is that...
the way Josie looked at Alicia, whichever person, male figure in your life...
Is that not doing something for the sake of just doing something and having a reason behind it?
Exactly.
Like, not just glorifying violence and glorifying certain, like gimmicks and things of that nature so that it doesn't come across as like just doing it for no reason
and then just giving
it a purpose,
violence or like crass for the sake of it. Yeah, exactly. And that's what he felt the menu was to an extent. I think a lot of films are that. I agree about the menu.
I can't give a comment yet on the menu because I haven't watched it yet, but once I do, I will text you guys. I think when award season comes, which is coming up right around the corner, I think Dare We Shay, you guys, I have a piece of gold in my teeth. Dare We Say should have a...
Did you get a grill?
No, I just got like a little tooth grill with diamonds and gold.
Is that what you sent me a photo of? I didn't know that was real.
Yeah, I did. I got it engrained. And the guy said to me, you have really small teeth. And I go, and he had to remake it because my teeth were so small. But I was like, I actually don't have small teeth. I don't know. I like my teeth. Thank you very much.
As you should.
But I like the guy. Anyways, we're going to wrap up and we're going to talk about something that's very important to us. And that is how to move forward. Whether it's someone you love or someone you did love, relationships with your friends and familial. And also in today's episode, we're going to be doing an icuation room. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't forget to follow us at Dare We Say on Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/darewesay.
All right, so today we are proudly sponsored by Squatty Potty. This is something Josie and I can start crying. I can start crying thinking about Squatty Potty because Josie and
Squatty
I...
Squatty Potty.
Alicia, don't say shit because you don't talk about your shit like Josie and I do. Listen, Squatty Potty is an amazing stool that you put on your bathroom floor by your toilet and it puts you in the...
It's a stool.
So funny.
Okay.
We basically, right. It puts all your right. body in an anatomically perfect position to take a shite.
If you're constipated, the Squatty Potty will literally change your life.
I identify with having a hot girl syndrome, aka IBS type B, which means I'm constantly constipated. I'm not even kidding you. Like, when the girls FaceTime me, I'm constantly on the toilet. But the thing that helps me more than taking my Citracel in the morning and taking my probiotics is the Squatty Potty. Listen, there's 60 days money back guarantee, and we have something for every bathroom: white, wood, clear, folding, travel, marble pattern, ones that light up that you find your way to the toilet like those exit things in an airplane. Squatty Potty is made for you. Over 8 million stools sold and more than 10,000 five stars reviewed.
And probably 10 billion stools shot.
More than that. Go to squattypotty.com/dare for 20% off your purchase. That's squattypotty.com/dare.
Clinically proven to help you poop better.
Dare We Say is brought to you by Masterclass. The fact that we get to say that is so iconic.
It really is.
Like, I remember going on YouTube and, like, the beginning parts of an ad of, like, my favorite YouTuber was, like, blah, 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 was brought to you by Masterclass.
Yeah, with Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. You can learn how to improve your writing skills from someone like Shonda Rhimes, which is a class I took, or improve your cooking skills like Gordon Ramsay, which is a class I will probably have to take, given I have blown up my microwave. With over 180 classes from a range of – that's also not a joke. Like, it's getting fixed tomorrow. With over 180 classes from a range of world-class instructors, that thing you've always wanted to do is closer than you think. Basically, each class is broken out into individual video lessons, usually around 10 minutes long, and you can explore your own pace. And each class is supported by downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, or more.
A new product from Masterclass allow for a deeper dive into the lessons over a month-long period. Sessions include projects to submit to a teaching assistant for feedback, as well as the opportunity to learn alongside a community of peers. Masterclass is available on iOS, Android desktop, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku.
I remember when I was in high school and I used my dad's credit card to get a membership on Masterclass. And the first class that I took was from Shonda Rhimes. And I learned so much from her. Literally, having been a graduate of film school, dare I say I learned almost as much, if not nearly the same amount, in my time with Shonda than I did in 4 years of literal film school. I remember she said so many things that have stuck with me today and are literally tools that I use as a human being in our industry and as a writer. One of the things she always said to me is to make sure that your character is happening to things and that things are not happening to your character. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that that is so profound. And I literally have taken that with me to this day. I feel like it's scripted in my soul.
Yeah, and we are so proud to say that Masterclass is our sponsor. And honestly, you need to fucking check it out. You have to check it out.
It's insane.
So this holiday, give one annual membership, get one free. Let me repeat that. Give one annual membership, get one free. Go to masterclass.com/dare today. That's masterclass.com/dare. Terms apply. Dare We Say is brought to you by BetterHelp. Nothing, and I mean nothing, is more important than someone's mental health. I am so sick and tired of people in this world putting their physical health above their mental when they should be at the same. But if your mental's not good, your physical's not to be good, and vice versa. Life doesn't come with a manual. We get that. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. And at BetterHelp, there are therapists that are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills. It's the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex thing that we call life and you. BetterHelp offers all the benefits of in-person therapy, but it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable.
And listen, let's be honest. Right now, we've talked about it getting cold and it being the holidays. And I think it's important to note that that comes with so many emotions.
Yep.
A lot of us are going back home. We are being forced to confront people or deal with situations that may not be easy.
Yep.
So we are encouraging you to take care of yourself this season. And a way that you can do that is by talking to a professional and getting those tools during this season that can be a little extra difficult to set you up to win. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist, and if things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It literally couldn't be any simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist.
Going to therapy has been the most life-changing thing for me. It took me from being literally girl next door, 2003 yep. Disney Channel original movie, to Zoe Kravitz in Batman. It really makes you a bad bitch. It's not something to be embarrassed about, and BetterHelp gives you something that seems so far away, so tangible. Mm-hmm. And I promise, no matter what you're going through, you are not alone. We are here for you, and BetterHelp is here for you. And we really hope you check them out. You can learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/dare. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dare.
This episode is sponsored by FX Kindred, the original series only on Hulu based on the celebrated and critically acclaimed novel by Octavia E. Butler. FX's Kindred centers on Dana James, a young Black woman and aspiring writer. Dana begins to settle into her new home in Los Angeles and is violently pulled back and forth into time.
She emerges at a 19th century plantation, a place intimately linked with Dana and her family. The clock is ticking as Dana struggles to confront secrets she never knew ran through her blood. FX Kindred, all episodes streaming December 13th, only on Hulu.
let's be honest. It's so fucking horrific to have a heartbreak. Like, personally, I'll listen to Phoebe Bridgers on loop, sit in the shower floor, drink my own tears, wear a black veil for 17 years until I get over someone or something. But that can only last for so long. You're going to have to get yourself up off the floor, mop up the tears, and cut that hair, honey, and do what you must. And there's ways to go about that. There's ways to mourn someone that's honestly still alive. And there's a way that we're going about this. We're not saying you have to move on. We're not saying you have to keep pushing. We're saying you have to move forward because you have to. This is an episode that's very near and dear to us, whether it's talking about family, whether it's talking about friendships, whether it's talking about a lover, on how to move forward and to be present. So, ladies, what are your thoughts on heartbreaks?
Wow. Yeah. That gave NPR.
Yes, NPR.
That gave, my name is Sarah Koenig, and this is Serial. That yes. was everything. That was so incredible. I literally thought I was on Sirius XM and I almost fell asleep in the back of my mom's Mercedes C300 2012.
I was actually going to say, you guys didn't say anything, which is I was
no,
like.
No, I was mesmerized. I was present. I wanted to hear all of
I
it.
I was
Thank
too,
you so
even
much.
Though I literally, I kept cutting out, kept going, ow, ow, ow.
That's, like, well, that's what I said, actually, every time, yeah.
Every time we're speaking, so I don't know if that's a tech thing, but we'll carry on.
Well, what's the difference between moving forward and moving on for you guys in relationships?
Gosh. Well, I love the idea of, like, moving forward because it's, like, I think growing up, and at least what I was told as a child was the fact that, like, oh, like, you move on. Like, yes, like, oh, yes. It didn't happen. Yep. It's whatever. Keep it pushing. Like, whatever. It's not that deep. It's kind of a motto that I live by. But you can't do that with, like, people that have left, like, an imprint on your life. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, whether I like it or not, whether, like, I like to admit it or not, there are people that impact you and change who you are forever.
Better or for worse.
Yeah, and that doesn't go away just because you've distanced yourself from this person. So I think it's a really beautiful idea to say, how do we alter the way that we approach a heartbreak?
Yes.
Or needing to distance yourself from someone for your health. And it's like, you know, you cherish what was good, but know that you deserve better and know that this person is hindering your growth. So, you know, you don't harbor anger towards them, but you just move forward. And you can still cherish the beautiful moments that you had with them or...
Which takes time, by the way.
Yeah.
I think there's a very... there's a slight difference about moving forward and moving on, but there is a difference. For example, moving forward is you're taking those experiences and you're taking those memories, the good and the bad, and you're growing. You're moving forward with your life without this person in your life. And you're letting it affect you and you're, but in a good, positive way. You're thinking about yourself. Moving on is you're acknowledging all of that, but it's still in the back of your head, but you're still keeping it pushing, like Alicia says.
Yeah.
When I think moving forward is more effective and also more healthy.
Yeah.
Because
so is that person's just processing?
I think it's that's how you process this grief. Because heartbreak is grief.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to process it?
But that's what we're saying. I think we're saying that moving forward is processing it and saying, like, we've been fed, like, through heartbreak songs, through movies and stuff. When you move on, you burn the pictures. You disregard this person.
Right.
It's like, fuck them. And it's like, no, moving forward is going, like, no, this person meant a lot to me. It hurts in the moment. But I'm going to cherish what was good. I'm going to take the lessons and keep it moving. But I don't harbor hate nor animosity towards this person. I'm distancing myself for my own growth and for the prosperity of both of us, whether it's family, whether it's a friend, whether it's romance. So it's moving forward, I think, is just like the idea of growing and trying to look at this process of, like, grieving someone with more grace and compassion in a way that, like, preserves your mental health. It may take longer than the idea of moving on. But moving on is just, like, you know, your typical breakup song. Like
you get a rebound.
Leave, get out, like,
you,
like,
go.
Yeah.
Like, you're for the streets again. Which, like, yes, we've all done that. Or at least I have. Like, I'm like, well, all right, I'm done. I'm broken up with this person. Or, like, I'm going to go and it's time. It's hoe time, baby. Or, like, friendship-wise, like, I'm just going to post with all my other friends.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, ego there, you know what
it
I
is
mean?
I think moving on, you have ego, whereas moving forward, you acknowledge it but you keep going.
Yeah, it's a little bit more reflective and introspective. How do you feel, Josie, in regards to, like, the differences, or do you disagree
when you're ending a relationship with someone? Like, there's going to be feelings of everything. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to like grieve that person. Mm. But I agree. I think a part of it is embracing the ego of it and then realizing like, oh, wow, I was being so negative and like, fuck this person, fuck that, and was so angry. And like, it's like you have to realize where the anger comes from by having the anger.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So it's not just like having someone do something to you or leave you and then you're, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense.
I actually think that's
I completely
perfect.
Agree with you. I think moving forward is not invalidating like your own feelings. Whereas like moving on, which I think I habitually have done, where I'm like, all right, cool, let's dead it. We don't got to talk about it. Like that, I'm moving on. It's cool. It's not that serious. Whereas like moving forward is like, okay, let me acknowledge how I really feel and let me live in this, even if it's uncomfortable. And let me acknowledge that this person most of the time isn't innately a bad person. And I'm not a bad person. We're just on different paths right now. 100%. And it's okay for us to take a step back. Or it's okay just because a person has had this place in your life, it doesn't mean that they're going to hold that status for your entire life. I think Josie and I, we talk about it in depth all the time. Like, history doesn't equate to someone's value in your life.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And that's for family, lovers, and friends. And I think also going back to what Josie said, I think it's naive and I think it's a fucking lie to say you're not going to be angry when something happens, when, like, a partner breaks up with you or a partner hurts you or a friend wrongs you.
That's and you don't naive. Forget either.
And I don't think you have to forget.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you have to, I like agree with you, you have to harvest that anger, and that's a part of grieving. Rachel Cusk's memoir called Aftermath, she says, "Grief is not love, but it is like love. This is romance's estranged cousin, a cruel character, all sleeplessness and adrenaline unsweetened by hope." Like, for example, I'll be honest, I remember my first heartbreak, and this was like my first love, and I was 17, and we broke up, and this is when I lost control of the relationship, because I was a very, you know, I craved control, and I remember when we broke up and he got a new girlfriend, I was broken. I wouldn't wish heartbreak on my worst fucking enemy. I was in pain. I was throwing up. I couldn't eat. I was waking up smelling his cologne. I would dream about him for nights on end. And they did a study and they found out that the parts of your brain that's lit up during heartbreak are the same parts of cravings, which is the same part that gets light up during a cocaine addiction, and physical pain as well. So you are physically inept during heartbreak because you are in pain. And I think that's important to acknowledge, that when you are going through something, to give yourself grace, because this is a horrific feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to keep going. Like, obviously something like even just this year, I've had a couple heartbreaks, as you both know. You know, I remember like I was crying at an IKEA, like throwing up at an IKEA randomly because out of Pinkberry Boy. Like, what? But during that time, I was like, this is everything to me. And it's because Josie's laughing right now, but
I just pictured it. I just pictured like what aisle, like are you in the bedroom section?
We're not
like,
in the bedroom. We're in the kitchen. Kitchen section, actually.
Of course. Did you do it in the sink?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't do it on the sink. But so I had to clean up. The clean up on aisle 5, ding, ding. But I was talking
it's
to my.
It's always 5.
It's always Sorry. 5. I was talking to my therapist, and I don't know if you can relate to this, you too, and our listeners. I fantasize a lot. I build worlds. I put people on pedestals when they haven't even proved that they're worthy of being on this pedestal, and they haven't even shown up on this pedestal. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day they could get there, but it doesn't really matter because they're not doing it today.
Yeah.
And I think if we keep living in this, well, maybe one day, well, honestly, this situation could happen here. We forget what's right in front of us. And it's harder to get over someone. And it's harder to move forward. So I think one big way to move forward, specifically with lovers, is look around you. Are they here? Are they showing up today? What did they do last week that really hurt you?
Yeah.
Are they picking up and leaving you when it's better for them?
Well, I feel like we've talked about this on the show before. I think it's so important that, like, love is special and, like, you deserve it. Like, you have to feel worthy of it.
You have to.
But to do so, you have to love yourself first. Mm. And it's okay. Like, on your journey to realize, like, you know what, this person is an amazing person, but sure, they don't know how to love me, or they're not loving me in the way that I want to be loved.
And deserve and, to be yeah, loved.
Yeah, and I think when you get to that point where you feel like you're questioning parts of yourself, or you're finding someone is making you question parts of who you are or dilute yourself, then you know that it's time to go. You mm-hmm. know, that it's like, you know what, let's move forward in our own separate directions. But, you know.
But I have a question for you, though.
I was going to, okay. What are you?
I'm so sorry, but what if they left you and you didn't even have the say in what happens next? Does that make sense? Because I feel like it's different if you have to acknowledge that, like, we have to part ways, but what if they leave you?
I think that's a great question. I think knowing, I wish that there was, like, a more profound way to say this, but the truth of the matter is you got to know that you're good without anybody.
Yes.
That your happiness and, like, your self-worth isn't equated in somebody else, so that when somebody comes in or decides to leave, that your happiness isn't tethered to that person. So, like, as much as I love an individual, like, I was good before them, I'll be good after them.
Yeah.
But there has to be a balance, too, because you also have to open yourself up to love, which I think I'm currently trying to do better at. Opening up myself to be loved, opening myself up to have the possibility of growing with someone. But knowing, like, you know what? If a person walks out in of my life, like, they didn't need to be there. Like, they were just not a part of my story. And if someone doesn't see the beauty in me just for who I am, then, you know, I don't want someone to half-ass love me. Whether it's a friend, whether it's a lover, whether it's a family member. And, you know, I'll speak for myself. Personally, in my life, I feel like my friendship breakups have hurt the most. Maybe because I just have, like, no faith in men innately. And I just, I naturally just assume that they're going to do the worst thing ever. But for me, friend relationships were, like, I had really deep, beautiful relationships with a woman. And I was, like, this is my sister. Like, this is my girl.
Yes.
And then they hurt me. That, those were, like,
heartbreak.
Breakups.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we talk about that enough. How have you guys realized that you needed to leave a friendship? And how did you go about doing so?
Well, for me, I don't think I've had a friend end something, like, with me in the past, like 6 years. Like, I've had friends that, like, I feel like kind of iced me out. Like, I remember freshman year of college, I became friends with people that, like, I just don't think it was, like, a two-sided friendship. And, like, my friends would tell me, my real friends, would tell me, like, all the time, or the few people that I had, would be like, they don't deserve you. Like, you would tell me.
I literally have told it to you so many times.
Like they don't deserve you. Like, why are you even hitting them up? That kind of stuff. And honestly, none of that kind of hurt. It was just kind of confusing because, like, I maybe in college, like, everyone's trying to find themselves. Like, when you're trying to develop a friendship with someone and then they suddenly are, like, icing you out. Like, yeah, I've experienced that before. With people, when I was younger, definitely, I had a lot of, like, behavioral issues. And people were fully, like, when I was a child, like, people, like, families would, like, send us a letter of resignation.
I can't resign from being in your family's life. Please.
Please do not come near us. But, you know, I've healed. I think what's hardest for me is the friendships that I've had to end, that have ended because of my own choice. The way that I see friendships and, like, romantic relationships different is, with romantic relationships, I don't really get sad about it at first, because I don't even think of romantic relationships as being, like, a real thing. Like, I don't even believe in its existence. So in order for me to, like, get sad about it, I have to realize the possibility of what it could have been or what it was. And then I have to mourn that. I don't – because at first I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that was nothing, because I was convincing myself it was nothing the whole time, which I'm working on and I'm in therapy for. And it's something I'm going to change. And so it's easier for me to be like, oh, fuck them. With friendships – because of the fact that I faced so much rejection as a child and I received all those resignation letters, I'm really not the person that has the energy of, like, oh, fuck that person, fuck that. It doesn't come out of me. I actually don't get angry when it comes to ending a friendship with someone who's hurt me. And I don't know why, because you'd think that I'd be the perfect person to tell someone off. But honestly, all that comes out of me is just compassion, because I know what it's like to be rejected. But I think sometimes that hurts me because I'm not creating enough boundaries for myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm bending over backwards for someone who doesn't know how to be there for me in the way that I deserve. Mm-hmm. And so then the kind of angry stage comes like months later when I'm like, oh shit, was I really like, I was giving the girl who caught her boyfriend cheating and was like, it's okay, babe. Like, we can work it out. Like, yeah, I know isn't you. Like that's kind of what I give sometimes. Mm. And so I have to remind myself, and my friends remind me, you guys, like my worth, and that I don't need to do all that stuff, and that, you know, I'm just, because people weren't those friends to me doesn't mean that I have to be mean to this person, but it doesn't mean that I have to go over the top and be,
yeah, 100%.
Be like that person's savior when maybe the lesson they're learning is not having me.
I completely agree with that. I think I kind of look at it, and this is with friendships, relationships, lovers. I kind of see our whole life as a book. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a massive, massive book, and each chapter is a different point in your life. So, example, for a lover I had, they were chapter 7 through 9.
Yeah.
Right? But it's chapter 11 right now.
Yeah.
They're not in my life. But chapter 10, I was healing that time. But also chapter 10, I had a great friend. But then fast forward, it's chapter 16, and that friend wasn't there, isn't there here, isn't here right now, but they served a purpose during that time. And I'm grateful. Yeah. And I think important is bowing out gracefully when it's time.
Exactly. Like, people are in your life for long reasons or seasons. And even the people in my life that have radically hurt me, and I agree.
Is there the lifetime option?
Yeah, like, for long reasons. You're my life. You guys are my lifetimes.
You're my long reasons.
Oh, but I thought it was for like a tiny reason.
No. For long reasons or seasons. And I like very much relate to Josie. The hardest relationships that have felt like the largest heartbreak for me is when I have to leave, like a friendship, because it's like, we have so much history. Yeah. Like, this person I know is a good person, but they just don't serve me. They make me question our friendship. They make me question our worth. And they continuously hurt me. And it's like, I've had to learn the hard lesson that it's not my job to raise you. And it's not my job to force you to drink.
You are not their mother.
It's not my job to force the horse to drink water. It's like, you can leave the horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. And I've been that girl sitting there, like, with a tub, like, please, like, don't do that again.
Like, don't do it. Put, like, an IV drip in her. Like, baby, please.
Like, girl, like, I love you so much. Why are you lying behind my back? Or why are you, like...
Why are you fucking lying?
Lying. Why are you always lying? Oh, my God. I'm fucking lying.
But no,
anyway,
for real.
But no, seriously. The cut too. Like, that is where it's radically hurt, where it's like, I've told you that you have crossed this line with me. I've told you how this makes me feel unseen and disrespected, and you keep doing it. It's like, why? Why do you keep putting me in that position? And then it's like, you know what? I have to bow gracefully, and I have to preserve my peace and also know my self-worth. But as much as certain situations with individuals have hurt, whether it be romantic, mainly I think friendship and familial for me, no matter how much it hurt, I'm a new person leaving it because I have a new perspective. I've gained a new lesson.
Correct. That's moving forward.
Yes. Now there's a line that I won't ever allow someone to cross again because I've lived through that pain. You know what I mean?
Say it.
My therapist, shout out. I don't know if I can say her name. Oh, okay. Shout out her. She literally told me a sentiment that goes exactly what you're saying. I'm yes anding right now.
Yes and. Yes improv, and. Improv.
My therapist was saying, she said, you need to know the difference between acquaintances and friends.
Yes.
And she said to me, I think you have a misconception of the word acquaintance. Mm. And I said, no, I don't. And she said, well, then what is it? And I said, well, an acquaintance is someone that you don't really talk to, that, you know, you see once in a while, that you could, you know, you like them as a human being, but you don't hang out with them. They don't tell you anything. And she's like, no, that's not true. An acquaintance is someone who you can hang out with, who you can talk to, who they can tell you their problems. They don't know everything about you. They might not know, you know, what happened in your life 6 years ago that was traumatic and brought you to the person you are now. But there's still a person that you can kick it with and hang out with. But your friendships are built off of years of trials and tribulations. And a friendship is tested based off of those. And without that time, without those experiences, a healthy friendship cannot be built. And so she kind of gave me this like description of these two buckets. And there's like a friendship bucket and acquaintance bucket. And your acquaintance bucket is how I describe, and your friendship bucket is, you know, like us, like the three of us, you know, what we have. Obviously we're more familial, but it's like the people that know everything about you, the people that love you, and the people that understand you, and the people that know you.
Been through the ups and downs with you.
When you put someone, when you put someone in the friend bucket too early, and maybe you do this with boys you mean, or with friends, who knows? When you put someone in the friend bucket too early and they haven't earned their right to be there, that's not only when they let you down, but you let yourself down.
I couldn't have said it better. Yeah. I think that's
really beautiful. I think it puts you in an unsafe position, and I'm learning more and more. I put myself in such unsafe positions emotionally.
Yeah, because you do not have an acquaintance bucket, and I didn't until like 2 weeks ago.
I do have an acquaintance bucket. I take it back.
Just because you have known that person for a long time does not reserve them the right to maintain their place in your life. Just because that person was a good person to you, or was, you know, like I was telling my therapist about, sometimes I tell my therapist about people and I'm like, oh yeah, well they did this and stuff for me. And she literally looked at me and was like, so that's like what a good human would do. That's like a normal thing for you to do.
Bare minimum.
And it's
bare
like, don't sell yourself short just for the bare minimum. Not every opportunity is meant to be taken, and not every friendship is meant to be continued.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi, bienvenido, ni hao, gesundheit. Welcome back to the Acuation Room. Today's topic is New Year's Eve. As we all know, there can only be one. Ick and yum, let's board. Today's topic, New Year's Eve. Ick, you go first.
December 31st, January 1st, tomato, tomato, who gives a fook? Quite frankly, it's like any other day. If we put pressure all in just one day, chances are you're not going to stop texting your ex-boyfriend. You're not going to save all your money and stop spending on your Amex. You're not going to do all these things. If you make up scenarios in your head of things you're going to do starting on January 1st, you're not going to do it. If we put so much pressure on one date, that is so pathetic. Every day should be New Year's Eve. Mm. Every day should be a New Year's Day, because every day is a new day, bitch, not January fucking 1st. And also, who really created the calendar? Time is not linear. Time doesn't even exist. Nothing exists. You're fake. You're fake. I'm a hologram. Nothing's real. I'm having a panic attack.
Thank you, Ek Yam. Take it away.
Listen, I get it. Time is a construct. Things aren't real. But tell me why you don't want a reason to start anew. All of us need new energy breathed into our damn meaningless lives and to have something to live for.
Yeah.
So if it is New Year's Day, it is New Year's Day. I want a reason to buy new gym clothes and go to the gym. Am I gonna keep going after 3 months? Maybe not. Maybe I'll ghost my trainer. I'm sorry, Nate. I love you. Anyways, we all need a reason to party, to get together, to have a good time together. And I think New Year's is perfect to start new things, be a better person.
You actually were 5 seconds over. Yes. Which is a disrespect to the court.
I feel like you definitely went over time.
I didn't actually.
Nobody was timing.
Yes, our producers were actually.
Okay, so
fake news,
thank you both for both of your proceedings. This is an incredible meeting today. I'm really appreciative. I will have to say, I hate New Year's Eve. I think the year starts when it's my birthday because the world revolves around me.
Yes.
But I also recognize that we do have some neighbors here. And I honestly love Alicia's take on it, specifically the fact that energy could be breathed into me, which sounds very enticing and something that I would love to have happen to me on the 31st of December. So I'm going to have to say, yum wins.
What?
Yes,
thank you.
Start
this,
Yes,
was the Acuation Room. Let's start anew.
You actually think about it. Guys, start anew.
There's something so beautiful. No, and also
there's something so gorgeous about beauty in
Are you
world
talking over me?
Construct.
Shut up. Cállate. I won. Listen. I think there's something so beautiful that even if it's like arbitrary and ridiculous, that the whole world gets together and goes, we're starting anew. We're stepping into something together. Even if it isn't for very long. I'm not for the fads. I'm not for the ridiculous things that don't last a long time.
I'm not for the fags. I'm not for the...
Alicia just said the F slur.
No, I didn't. That you do not cancel me. F-A-D-S. Fads. Trends.
Did you just say G or D?
I'm...
And goodbye. That was our episode. Thank you for listening. So I actually was already starting the end of a conversation. I was going to begin a monologue, and then our producer said, just wrap it up, Yasmeen. So here I am wrapping it up, Caroline.
Thank you guys for listening. Choose your circle wisely, but protect your peace first and foremost.
Bonjour.
Great.
Is
bye,
that
guys.
Is that goodbye?
That's hello.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
That was funny.
Dare We Say is a Crooked Media production.
Caroline Reston is our showrunner, producer, and mommy. And Ari Schwartz is our producer and show daddy. Fiona Pastana is our associate producer, and Sandy Girard is the almighty executive producer.
It's hosted and produced by me, Josie Toda.
And me, Yasmeen Hamadi.
And me, Alicia Pascual Peña. Our engineer and editor is Jordan Cantor, and Brian Vasquez is our theme music composer. Our video producers are Matt DeGroot, Nar Melkonian, and Dylan Villanueva, and Mia Kelman.
Lastly, thank you to Jordan Silver, Gabriella Leverett, Jesse McLean, Caroline Haywood, Shayna Hortzman, Daisy Cruz, Danielle Jensen, and Awa Okaladi for marketing the show and making us look so damn good.